Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My name is Padraig and welcome to The Voice Note, the podcast where I ask and answer some very difficult questions, divulge over your responses and have an absolute scream along the way. Hello my friends and welcome to episode, what are we? 11? Welcome to episode 11 of The Voice Note. I hope you're all keeping stunning as always. Well, it's a big week here for me. Because I'm packing my bags, I'm leaving on a jet plane, and I'm booting over to Liverpool next week. The time has come. The time has come for the special of all specials. It's the Voice Note Eurovision special. Now, I promised you that we'd have one. I don't know if anyone wants to listen to what I have to say, but listen. Listen, Linda. Are we going to get into it? I know I've been harping on with Eurovision for the last couple of weeks. It's just the build-up, everything is just electric to me and I absolutely can't wait to actually go to the Eurovision for the first time ever. This is what I'm assuming it must be like for someone who loves soccer to go to the World Cup final. Like, that's how big it is for me. Now, I don't have tickets for it, but I'm going to be in the Eurovision Village. So if anyone's going, make sure you find me because we're going to have an absolute scream of a weekend. I'm heading over with a few of the gals on Friday. Going to take it nice and handy so we're ready to rock and roll on the Saturday. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with the Eurovision. I just love it. It's high camp theatrics. And we all know that I'm weak for high camp theatric. But I do remember the first time that I ever saw it, right? Take yourselves back to, I'd say, early 2000s. I'm on holidays in West Cork with my parents. Children are allowed to be in the pub until death do them part. It's this May weekend that we're down there. And my parents have a place in West Cork. And we go to the pub and we're all there. And as usual, I get the bottle of Coke and a packet of Tato. I get a couple of euro to play on the slot machine. And eventually that runs out. So I'm itching at my parents to be like, can we go back? Can we go home? Can we go now? Whatever. And they're like, no, 5 more minutes and 1 more drink. And I'm like, yeah, grand. So I'm booting around, doing my tootie booty bits. And then on the screen, I see this extravaganza, eleganza is all I could describe. It was lights. It was pyrotechnics. It was camp. It was singing, it was acting, it was everything that I was on the inside. I just didn't know I was on the outside at that point in time. It was quintessentially gay. And I was sliving. So it came to the point where my parents were like, right, it's time to go. And I was like, oh no, we're going nowhere. You better sit down there. We're only over as far as Slovenia. We've got 6 more countries yet to deliver their votes. Now, my mom and dad were weak, obviously. They got another point out of it. And I got to finish it. And from then on in, I was hooked. And I remember asking them, being like, what was that? And they were like, that's the Eurovision. You're like, you know what the Eurovision is. And I was like, I did know, but I didn't actually. It was the first time that I was engrossed in it. And then as I grew up, I used to watch it every single year. And it was something. And I've spoken about my love with my nan before and like how we used to spend loads of time together. And I used to chill in her house at the weekends. And she'd look after me if my parents were away. And it became this tradition on Eurovision night that I would stay in my nan's and we would watch it together. My nan was like really musical and I was when I was younger too. And it was something that we really shared together and we loved doing. And she was as critical as I was. We were the harshest critics in Europe, but we loved it. We used to rate them out of 10. We used to give our top 10. We used to predict our winners. We used to give them all our points. We did all of the stuff that you would do at a Eurovision party before I even knew what a Eurovision party was. So there's always this nostalgia involved in Eurovision for me as well. So before I even knew that I was a gaggling gay, it was like, you know, something really wholesome and comforting, I suppose. And as I grew up, I never missed it. Like, I did not. We used to do loads of shows when I was younger. And I was part of a stage school. And our end of year show would always be in May. But it was always a week or two after Eurovision. And I used to pull the same stunt every year, where on the, like, Monday before the Eurovision, I get, like, a tweak in my back. I'd be like, oh, tweaking my back there. And then the Tuesday, I'd be fine. I'd catch up on the semi-final, right? The Wednesday, I'd be booting again. The Thursday, I might be up. Do you know what? My back isn't great. I'm going to take some time out. That would usually be the semi-final that we were in. And then Friday would roll around. I'd head to rehearsals. And then Saturday would come and I would be on bed rest. I would not darken the door of the studio for fear that I wouldn't be able to perform the following week. But conveniently, it would be the same night as Eurovision and I'd be at home absolutely debt-dropping to some gay Euro bops. As I got older and I realised that I was the gay that I am today, well, then it became even more of a celebration. And then funnily enough, half my friendship group were gay and all obsessed with the Eurovision. So it was always a thing. From the time that I was a child at home with my family to the time that I was gay enough to go out and party and enjoy the experience, it was always this massive big deal that I always looked forward to. So I think that's why, this is my justification, by the way, I think that's why it is my mastermind subject. I know an insane amount about it. Now, I know I don't know as much as other people, but I do know a weird amount. I've tried for tickets in the past. I've never been that successful. It's not as easy to get to Azerbaijan as it is to get to Liverpool. So it would be certainly rude of me not to go this year. And I cannot explain my excitement. I'm going to be insufferable on Instagram that weekend. Listen to me now. I'm bringing back the lives. If you've been a long time follower of me, you will know that I've been partial to a live in the past, but I've tried to clean up the act, I suppose, just because they were absolutely chaos and the fear the next day was never worth it. But I'm telling you now, I'm going to be spending the whole of Eurovision weekend live from Liverpool. You heard it here first. I'm going to be live from Liverpool. So join me on my journey. But I have to say, despite loving it, I'm anything but proud of our efforts. We once spent years in a row on top of the leaderboard. In fact, we have the most wins in the history of Eurovision. But it's all gone a bit to shit, hasn't it? Full disclosure, I think last year we were done dirty. We had my gal Brooke Scullion, who was an incredible representation for our country. She had a banger of a bop. She put in a massive graft and her performance was insane. Now, she didn't get through, but that doesn't matter because she gave a performance that we could be proud of. That song is still constantly coming up on my playlist to play because I just absolutely love it. And that's what you want from a Eurovision song. It's not all about the winning. Sometimes it's about taking part, but less turkeys and more Brooke Scullions in the future. Now, I couldn't have a Eurovision special without a Eurovision expert joining me. And this week, I am joined by Miss Eurovision herself. We're discussing when it was good, when it all went wrong, and there's even a comment or two about her feud with Twink. This is the scathing expose on Eurovision that nobody asked for, but you're getting served on a platter. Buckle up and listen to the voice note. This week's guest is famed for achieving what has been deemed almost unachievable, well, in Ireland anyway, for over 25 years. She's a pop icon, a music mogul. She's mother to the gays and she's Irish Eurovision royalty. It's Miss Linda Martin. Linda, welcome to the voice note.
Thank you. But Jesus, that was some intro.
Were you rehearsing that? You know what? It didn't take me long to get now, Linda. I had a couple of weeks ago, I had a question and answer episode and someone asked
who would be one of my ideal guests or my dream guests, and you were one of them, and I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to you today.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, at least you got what you wished for anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I didn't expect it at all. So I'm delighted. Thanks again for joining me. How are you keeping?
I'm good. I'm actually good. I've brightened up because the sun's shining in Dublin today.
I know.
Which makes a difference because the weather has been so bad. And I'm a passionate gardener, and I'm trying to get plants in and all sorts of things. And I can't, because every time I go out, it was raining. But today was absolutely brilliant.
Today was, it felt like there was a change in the air today, wasn't there?
Yes, and I do hope it stays. Now, are you going to Liverpool this year by any chance?
I am. I'm going to Liverpool. This is my first time ever going to the Eurovision.
Okay, because I have 4 concerts there that week. One of the venues is the Yacht Club.
Amazing.
And one of the venues is the Euro Club. And the other one is the open air concert with the orchestra.
Fabulous. So you're busy.
I'm busy, yeah, but I like that. I want to go to the Cavern, though. I don't want to have so little time. I want to go to the Cavern and sing Beatles songs and do what everybody does.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. These are the things that I think that are like totally unique to Liverpool, which will hopefully, like, we'll see in Eurovision too. And I know they have to do both Ukraine, and they're gonna incorporate as much from the UK as well. But I think they're doing it really well. Do you agree?
Yes. They are, they're throwing everything at. Like,
yeah,
serious.
And I think it's nice because I was a little bit concerned that perhaps maybe they wouldn't focus enough on the Ukraine. But I have to give credit to the Brits where credit is due. They're doing quite well.
Absolutely. Listen, Charles and Camilla were up there today.
I saw that, turning on the light.
Did you know that? Yeah, for sure. Oh, by God, they're taking it seriously. So hopefully now they're setting the precedent, right? And hopefully Ireland's going to follow by taking it so seriously. But do you know what happens here? It tends to be thrown away a little bit. Yeah,
I know. I'm going to ask you a little bit about your opinion and how we're doing in a minute, right? But first of all,
okay,
what I want to do is I want to cast your mind back slightly, right? So you have obviously represented us twice. Winning in 1992 for us and starting off what was like an incredible, what seemed like when we were dominating the leaderboard. Now, before I go any further, I have to say, I loved Terminal 3 as well. I love that song. It's such a brilliant song.
Yeah.
And of course, you had Why Me as well.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. And then so you won with Why Me in 92. And then for a lot of the 90s, we were dominating the leaderboard really, weren't we?
Yep. Certainly were, yeah, absolutely. And we sent the turkey, and that finished it.
Before we get to where it went wrong, can you just like describe to us what it must have been like in Malmo when you won?
It was all my birthdays had come at once. Like, seriously, we'd put so much work into that week. We had an amazing head of delegation who sadly has since passed, but Kevin Lenehan just plumaz the producers, the directors, everybody with bottles of Irish whiskey and lunches and smoked salmon and all the sort of goodies, right? So as he got the shots that he wanted. And that was vitally important because sometimes if you're looking at people taking part in Eurovision, you might see a photograph of their back of their head or something like that,
you know,
which is not good. So he did all of that. And it really was a tremendous end to a hard week. And by Jesus, we played the media. We really did. Now,
and I think that's so important.
Well, it is so important because it's like me talking to you today. Now, if I'm rude to you, you're going to tell everybody, well, she was horrible. But
if
I'm nice to you, you're going to say, now you got to watch for her because she was actually very
She's
nice.
The babe.
So it does work. It works. I don't know about that. Anyway.
Well, I'd argue that one.
It was wonderful.
And I think that I do think that that's something that we struggled with in more recent years. I think Brooke Scullion did the media very well last year,
she
in fairness to her.
She did, absolutely.
And look, because she's, you know, like we've seen her doing interviews and even walking down the street, you know, doing random gigs and stuff. And I think that proved really well. And even though we didn't get the result with Brooke that I think that she deserved, I think she left a bit of a legacy on the competition and also did really well in, like, you know, igniting a bit of a fire in this country. Because we haven't been doing so well, I think we've kind of lost interest a little bit.
Yeah, well, we sent the turkey. I keep going back on that. We were winning every year.
Do you think so?
And then suddenly we sent the turkey and the Europeans, because I still work in Europe, right? And their attitude was, oh, you think you can win every year and now you send a turkey, you think that will win as well? And of course, it wasn't what we were thinking. We were hoping, but it didn't work. But it was almost like we were sort of giving them the fingers, you know, bugger off, because we're ruling the world. And it went against us. It really did.
Do you think that was the start of what was like a slippery slope for us, or where it started going wrong?
Absolutely. And then I think our main songwriters sort of took a step back. Mm-hmm. And we were finding it a little bit difficult to find experienced performers now. And that's the key word I'm using, experience, because that's a big stage. The Eurovision thing is huge. And if you haven't got experience under your belt, you may as well not go, because you will bottle.
Totally. Like, it's a global stage, isn't it?
It really is. You know something? I was reading something today. It was about Slovenia and the act for Eurovision from Slovenia this year. You probably know all this anyway, but they held a special. They are absolute superstars in that part of the world. And they held a special concert to say thank you to their fans. And like, there was a couple of 100,000 people turned up. Now, we couldn't do that. I can imagine we might have two people who would turn up. You know, it's a different ball game, because they take it very seriously. Now, I do realize, Porrig, that it's a bigger country than ours. They've probably more money than us. But at the same time, we have got to send our stars.
So we've done it before. We could still do it, you know, at a time where I suppose in the 90s we weren't as probably rich as we are now. And like, I suppose if you compare it to the likes of Sweden, who do Melfest, and like see that massive competition that they do, like, there is no comparison, and it's no wonder that they do so well.
Yeah, but I've said before, and I've said it to the people in RTE, why don't we do that? There's plenty of venues that we could hire.
I was going to ask, do you have any input or any influence on like the selection process nowadays?
No.
Like, what a shame.
I have judged a couple of the time, you know, the way they get 300 or 400 songs in every year.
Of course, yeah.
And on the song selection, but apart from that, no, not really.
You were the brains behind Jedward, though, going to Eurovision, am I right?
Well, I was their mentor for the week. Louis Walsh was actually their manager, you say. And Louis managed me for years and years and years.
I do remember you playing like a significant role in them going over there. And like, to be fair, it's probably one of the better results that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the year I was with them, we went to Baku. And there were people in Baku following them around the streets. It was like a parade. It was like the Pied Piper. It was an incredible, because they just cause uproar in the nicest possible way wherever they go.
Do you think there's room for them to do it again?
Well, of course, there's room for anybody to do it again, but I don't think it would be a good idea now, being serious. I really don't.
Can I ask you a serious question now?
All right, go on.
Right. You were verbally abused that night on The Late Late by Billy McGuinness. I just want to know, has he apologized to you properly?
Well, he may have done. I don't know. And I'm not interested either.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame
you. No, you know.
You absolutely wiped the floor with him, and deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time after that, I was working in Europe. And of course, the Eurovision fans can see everything on RTE, whatever you call it. And they were saying to me, say gobside. And I had to say gobshite, and then they'd be roaring laugh. Oh my god, it was mental.
Yeah, it was gobshite, and you odious little man, which I think is one of the best one-liners ever.
Yeah, and in other words, never ever accuse people of trying to cheat and bribe, which is what he was doing, and we to do with those contestants, nothing.
Besides all that, it was still a success for us as an act. So I think you were definitely in the right there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you maintain that from Dustin, it started going downhill from there? Because basically we're seen to be a bit of a mockery, right?
Yeah.
How do we pull it back? You're an expert. You've been there. You've won it. You're involved. You're all across Europe. What can we do?
Well, we got to get the serious songwriters back out again. And by God, we have them. Brendan Graham, Jimmy McCarthy, Johnny Logan. That's only three. The three that I'm just coming to my mind anyway. But we've got to do that. But we've got to nurture the singers coming through, or the artists, or the bands, whatever you call them. And I'm not just talking about rock bands or anything like that. I'm talking about ordinary pop singers.
Yeah.
Pop bands. We've got to nurture them. In other words, give them a space on the late, late. And in my day, you had variety shows in theatres. There were variety shows on RTE. Gay Byrne was always very, very kind to newcomers. And there was Tops of the Town. Never forget Tops of the Town. You know, and it gave people a platform.
A platform.
They could be seen. They could get a little bit of experience. And then they moved on and upwards. We have got to do that again.
Celebrating our own Irish, really, because I think that Irish music is very good and it could do very well if it was given the right song.
Yes, absolutely. We do have the talent here. There's no question about that. But that talent has to be moulded. Are you with me? Moulded. It's no good just having a good voice. You've got to have all the pieces of the jigsaw put in place. Good voice, good appearance, a bit of personality, everything. It all has to be brought in.
On that note, have you listened to this year's entry and what do you think?
I only heard it the night that they won.
Yeah, it doesn't have that itch to make you want to listen to it again.
No, but the only other ones I've heard so far are Sweden and the UK. And again, it was once each. I just flicked through them.
And anything jump out at you?
No.
Okay.
No, the UK is okay until she goes into the rap. And then rap never did anyway well in Eurovision.
And of course, you've got Loreen then, who's already won for Sweden, representing them again. See, she's gained a lot of traction and her song is quite good. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Sweden, unfortunately, beating us, or matching us, I should say, to a record holder this year.
Yeah, we don't want that. No, we definitely don't want that. No.
No, we don't want. See, the thing about it is I loved the song until I realised that she was probably going to match us, and I was like, I couldn't do that.
No. But you know, this year's crowd that we're sending, Wild Youth, they're young, they're good looking boys, they've a good attitude,
and they're doing the media very well.
Yeah, and they look like all the Eurovision acts. Their clothes, I'm talking about, they look like they should blend in, and that's always good because you don't want just a shirt and tie and a suit. You know, it has to be much more than that.
Without a doubt. And I think, look, is it the best song? Probably not. I know Wild Youth's music, and I think that they probably have better songs, but I think they're a great representation of our country too. So I don't think we should be ashamed of them at all.
Oh, not at all. No, under no circumstances. But for them, win, lose or draw, it's an amazing platform. Where else can you perform and 300 million people look at you?
Yeah, and good for them because they deserve it too, especially when they're working so hard. You mentioned Johnny Logan and stuff there. Would you still be in touch with him then?
Absolutely. See a lot of him.
Go away. And would he be interested in getting involved with like the likes of, you know, writing more songs and you know, is he still as passionate, I suppose, as for your vision as he always was?
Well, yes, he loves your vision. All right. And I keep, every time I see him, I say, have you written that duet yet? And then he tells me to F off and good, leave him alone. But, you know, you never know a songwriter. He might come up with something. And we talk about different things about Eurovision. And he would be wonderful if he did come back with another song. But it's actually getting him to sit down and write something specifically for the contest and not just for himself.
Because you see, like, he's always brought up, and even yourself, you're always brought up in montages and stuff. So you are, both of you are seen as, you know, like, valued members of the Eurovision family across Europe. And I suppose that's due to the fact that, yes, you're very successful, but also I know that you're both out grafting out there. If he was to come back with a duet, would you do it?
With him, yeah. Yeah, because it would be a brilliant.
It would be incredible.
It would be a brilliant duet if he wrote it. Of course it would, yes.
Well, I'm telling you now, Linda, I'm going to be vouching for it on the ground here now. I'm going to do my very best to get you back. I think you'd be perfect. You'd be perfect.
Okay.
My other question was, aside from Eurovision, right, you have had some iconic moments.
Really?
Of course you have. I don't know if you see the significance of this. Casting your mind back to the time you were doing Popstars.
Yeah.
And you had to go into a room with Nadine Coyle and tell her that she had to be taken out of the band. Yeah. I don't know if you know how significant that moment is in Irish culture now. Like, it's always quoted. It's always brought up.
No, I know.
Did you know at the time what you were doing was gonna literally shock the country?
No, I didn't. And to be quite honest with you, I've been very open about this. She was such a marvellous singer and such a good-looking girl that I wouldn't have cared if she'd been 90. I'd have still put her through, say nothing. And I had to go back to Louis Walsh, who was selecting the singers and everything. And I told Louis, and he was sort of the same opinion, you know, because we all tell white lies. Like, let's be honest, Porrig, we all do the different things to get by. And it was just a white lie, for God's sake. But anyway, the producer of the show, unfortunately, didn't see things that way. But when you think about it, she went on to be part of Girls Aloud. Look at the success they've had. So from her point of view, embarrassing at the time, yes. But look at how profitable it was for her.
And I think that's why it's such like a talking point for people still to this day, because, you know, she'd gotten that setback, but then obviously she went on to huge stardom afterwards. But I just think it was one of those things that whole program really had Ireland by the neck. And I think, to see something like that actually happen was mad. And then to have you involved was just crazy.
It was the first of that type of program, don't forget. That's why. Now you can, there's programs around every day of the week. There's some sort of competition, you know. But that was the first.
Did you and Nadine ever have an opportunity to chat about that afterwards?
Oh, yeah. I've seen her many, many times since then.
I'm sure she probably thanks you for all the help you gave her back then.
Well, no, but I hope she thinks I was helping her anyway. But,
totally.
but yes, I have seen her. And yes, she's gorgeous. Really lovely.
You mentioned Louis Walsh there.
Yeah.
He recently helped you open a dog sanctuary.
Yes, he did. He did. When I came to Dublin in the 70s, Louis managed me for years and years and years. And then he went off and did Boys Own and Westlife and all of that sort of thing. And I went on to somebody else. But we've remained the best of friends, like really, really close friends.
Love it.
So whenever I was involved with the project with the dog shelter, and I knew that we were going to open on a day which just sheer quirk, Ian McKellen was in Dublin. John Bishop was in Dublin. There were a lot of celebrities in Dublin that week. And I approached them. And Ian McKellen said, yes. He says, I'm not working on that Friday. Now, I knew that. But he says, I'll come out and open it. John Bishop's wife has a sanctuary of her own in England. And he said, well, can I come too? So it was Louis, Ian McKellen, John Bishop, Brendan Courtney, Anne Doyle. We had the very Reverend Damien O'Reilly. In his full robes, doing the St. Francis of Assisi blessing. We'd Irish dancers, we'd all the tea and the sandwiches and everything else. And it turned out the most wonderful day, a little bit bizarre, all right. All the press turned up. There was press there falling out of the heavens.
Good for you, though.
It just worked.
Is the sanctuary fully open now?
No, it's not. It's built.
Not yet.
It's ready to go. But I'm up to my chances with Eurovision work at the moment. So it's going to be middle May. Before I can do anything else.
Fair play. That's actually, you know, that's so brilliant. I think that's a really lovely, lovely idea. And I know that you're a huge animal lover and I'm very excited to see how that goes for you. Like you said there, jam-packed, Eurovision season's coming up. It must be a really busy time of year for you, is it?
It's always. For Eurovision people, it's always busy. Absolutely.
Of course it is. So are you heading, you will be heading over to Liverpool?
I will be. I'm working in London first on Friday the 5th of May. I'm going to see ABBA. You know, the Voyage. I'm going to see that on the Sunday night.
Linda, have you seen it yet? Have you seen it yet?
No.
It's incredible. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. You're going to love it.
So I believe. And then Monday the 8th, we're traveling to Liverpool and I'll be there for the week.
I'm so excited because I've never been. I don't have a ticket for the actual thing, but I don't mind because I'm going to be in the Euro Village and apparently it's great crack.
It's brilliant. Really brilliant, yeah.
Would yourself and Louis do another show for us? Would you not bring back, do something like Pop Stars for us again here?
Well, listen, somebody would need to propose that to RTE, you know, but...
This is what I'm trying to gain a bit of traction for you. I just think, you know, bring you back onto the television and all will be restored
you
again.
You see, everybody wants Louis to hear them or see them. Yeah. They all want to meet him because he has the magic touch.
But you see, you are his right-hand woman, so you'd be able to get around him, not a bother.
It would be great if we came back, yeah.
I think we'd all love to see yourself, first of all, but also Louis, because you're both really lovable characters and you've got great on-screen chemistry. I think you'd be fabulous. Another thing I have a request, and I'm going to try to get this to RT, I think the lyrics board needs to come back as well. I loved that program.
That was great. There's lyrics board all over the world. Do you know that?
Totally. And it's a game that we would play. We'd have a few drinks in my house and it's a game that you would play. And then you'd remember that actually that was something that was on primetime television with Linda Martin years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can go to Vietnam now and there's a Vietnam lyrics board. I mean, it's exactly. Totally bizarre, the whole thing, but it's true.
Yeah, it's so cool. Linda, could you give me one line of Get Lucky?
Oh, God. Well, he's up all night to get lucky. I have to think
about
it.
We're up all night to get some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the first line of that song? For the something of the phoenix. Isn't that it? It's something, something phoenix.
Even just one verse for me.
No, I'm not singing it for you. You must be mad. No, because funny enough, I've had requests. But you know something? I met Niall Rogers.
Yeah,
from Chic, who wrote the song. He didn't write it. He produced it or something. But anyway, and he was in Dublin and he was lecturing in Trinity. And it was just after we did that Get Lucky on the Late Late Show. And some smart arse in the audience said, are you offended because Linda Martin sang your song, right? And he said, absolutely not.
No way.
For me, it's a compliment no matter who sings, and he put your man into his place, right? He says, no way. He says, anybody. He says, I'm very, very grateful if anybody performs my song.
I don't blame him. And you know what, Linda? We wouldn't be talking about that song anymore that you sang it. I love it. It's brilliant.
Maybe not one of my finer moments.
Don't be silly with all of those moments. But this is why you're an icon. And the fact that you can laugh it off and the rest of the country laugh with you.
Yeah, I hope.
Linda, I've got one last question.
Go on.
And I don't know if you're going to like this question, right? But I have to ask. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about with a guest about infamous feuds.
I know what you're going to say.
But I just want to know. That had to be buried.
No.
Okay.
No, I never want anything to do with that person ever again.
And Linda, that's all you have to say. Because look, it's like this. I'm sitting here talking to you. We all know what team I am on.
Here, listen, are we having a drink together in Liverpool? Are we?
I would love, would we? Could we?
I'd see you in the Euro. No, I'll see you in the Euro Club.
I would love to.
The outdoor orchestral evening. I think it's happening around about 6 o'clock in the evening, whatever. It's a Thursday night. I'm not quite sure. But who else is on it with me? There's three singers. And that is going to be brilliant. So if you get up to the front of the stage, wave at me, because I'd say that is going to be incredible.
Listen, Linda, thank you so much for speaking to me this afternoon. I'm absolutely weak. I can't believe I got to speak to the Queen of Irish Eurovision.
It was lovely talking to you, and you're so nice.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
And so handsome.
Oh my God, Linda, don't know why you start blushing.
You are actually. I can see the colour.
I'm mortified. I'm actually mortified.
I'll see you in Liverpool somewhere, okay?
I hope to God I get to see you in Liverpool. Thanks so much, Linda.
Yeah, please God. Please God. Take care of yourself, Corey. Bye. Bye-bye.
Pinch me, please, because someone's going to have to tell me that Linda Martin did not just ask me to go for a drink with her in Liverpool. I don't know how I'm going to get over there on the Thursday because my flight's booked for the Friday after work, but I'm going to have to pull a stunt because you best believe that I'm going to be inside in the cavern drinking a martini with Linda Martin on Thursday night. This, my friends, in the wise words of Lizzie McGuire, is what dreams are made of, and I've never been so excited in all my livelong days. Back to business. We don't know where we've come yet. It doesn't all kick off until next week. As I said in the interview with Linda, we can't fault the talent of Wild Youth. I just don't believe that their song is strong enough to stand on the stage. For anyone who doesn't understand Eurovision, some of the experts might disagree with me, but in terms of music, I think that this is a really strong year. We've got the UK coming back with Mae Miller after coming second last year, so they've got a fire in their stomach. And while people were disappointed with their song, I'm telling you now, it's a bop and it's going to be played all over the radio. So I think that they're not going to do as bad as people are making out to be. Of course, from one queen to the next, we have the return of Loreen, who won with Euphoria in 2012. Her song Tattoo is an absolute masterpiece. I feared that it peaked a little bit too soon because we've known the song since March, and Sweden don't tend to change their staging that much between the national final, which is when their song was decided, and the actual Eurovision. So what we expect to see from Loreen is pretty much what you will find on YouTube. Now, there was a little bit of controversy because she has this screen that comes down, and apparently it weighs some mental weight, like a couple of tons, like 14 tons or something. This massive LED screen that comes down so that it looks like she's like in this little box almost. And she's sandwiched between the LED stage and this LED ceiling. The fear was that it was going to be far too heavy for the stage in Liverpool. But we don't know for certain what's going to happen, whether they made a lighter version of it. But as far as I can tell, that's going to Liverpool too. So what you'll see on YouTube is very much what you'll see of Loreen in the Eurovision, and it's not going to disappoint. There's a couple of other ones that I want to mention. Finland. I think that Finland could be the one to beat. I'm going to call it out there. It's going to be between Finland and Loreen for the top two spaces. Let me just tell you, it's a lot of chaos. It's a man who's wearing leather pants and green sleeves and nothing else. He's rocking around the stage and singing cha-cha-cha. And look, if that doesn't scream Eurovision, I don't know what does. Austria have a brilliant song. It's called Who the Hell is Edgar? Who is Edgar? I don't know. But all I know is there's a beat and a bop and there's a rap in this song. Never would have expected from Austria. I think that song's going to do well. And also, France have a gay bop this year. A lot of people putting their money on Spain. I don't see the appeal, but then again, I'm not always right, girls. I don't always get it right, and I'm not going to pretend to either. And finally, a lot of hype about Israel. They've got a performance from Noah Carell, and it's a song about unicorns. Some people disappointed by the song, but I actually think it's a bop, and I think it's going to do really well. So, if I was to give my top three, I'm going to say Sweden, Finland, and I'm going to pull one out there and say France. But if it was my favourites, I would say Sweden, Finland, Austria, France, and Israel. Those are my top five. And I just made them up at the top of my head because I didn't know what I was going to say up until now. But there you go. If you're going to put your money on, if you want to save bet, go with Sweden. But if you're willing to give a little bit of a gamble, but not too much like me, a safe bet, Finland. I can't believe that I'm making content out of this. If you're still here, why? Anyway, I still don't have a look sorted, so I'm off to find a crop top and something gay. I suspect the aftermath from this weekend will be quite something. I don't know when you're going to hear from me next. No, rest assured, I'll be back incredibly soon with episode 12. Get out and watch the Eurovision this year. Enjoy it, embrace it. It's a gay celebration that everyone can get involved in. We need to make it mainstream. And we need to do something about winning. Linda Martin, she's on the case. Don't forget my Instagram, TikTok and Twitter are Podrick_WMC. I'm going to get loose in Liverpool. So make sure you go over and get in on the crack. It's been a pleasure. And it's been so easy to talk a load of shit about something that I'm obsessed with. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me to do so. And also for listening. Thanks as ever for listening to the voice note.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.